When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, or Latrobe, wherever you might be, getting ready for Steelers training camp. The first practice of the 2025 training camp later today. They reported yesterday, and we're here for all of it. Kabali and Mac, don't forget, friends, Yinzer's countrymen, good morning, first of all. But don't forget to follow us on all the social media, X, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, at Kabali and Mac. If you're one of the first 500 followers on Instagram, we got a $100 Yoli's gift certificate for you. And if you're one of the first 2,500 subscribers on YouTube, I think we're at 2,000 now, we will enter you into that drawing for a wonderful Paul Skeens autographed baseball. Get it before the Pirates try to trade him. Thanks, as always, to our good friends, the Dan Heck Team, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com, for supporting the show. They present Kabali and Mac and make it possible for us to do this, even on a day when we're super busy, because Kaboom's got to run his kid to, what, a wrestling camp. I've got like 16 appliances arriving today. Big shout out to our guys down the street, Voss Appliances. And it's just, you got to drive back to Latrobe. There's a million things going on, Kaboom.
Yeah, I got to pick up the kid around noon, drop him off, head back to Latrobe, be there until about 10, be home probably about 11:30, you know, drive the
kid. Then you're going to come back again.
I got to drive back and take the kid to camp again. Then his grandfather's going to come pick him up. Then I can finally get into a groove.
Groove, baby.
How many appliances you buy in here?
Washer and dryer. Dishwasher's just getting repaired. For the second time, we've already spent enough money on that we're not gonna we're not buying a new one. But the washer and dryer
laptop fix, Stoogie, it's replaced.
Yeah,
brand.
How's it feel to have an actual functioning laptop?
I don't know, but you're like getting a little bit of delay on your voice here. I wonder if that's your side or my side.
I'm gonna blame it on your new laptop. Does that sound okay? We'll blame it on you. So everybody reported yesterday. We have a bunch of clips. Some of them, as I just discovered right before we started the show, may or may not work, which is awesome. It's a good thing I spent time last night.
That's why they tune in for the production value of this program.
You think that's why the high-end production value of this show?
Yeah.
I think that has nothing to do with it. I think it's all you. So let's start with, well, first of all, Omar talked, Mike T talked, TJ Watt talked, a handful of players were grabbed as they were, you know, taking their stuff out of their car, trying to walk into Benedict Hall and get loaded up into the dorms. So we'll hear a lot of it. Jalen Ramsey, Juan Thornhill, Troy Faltanu had something to say that I thought was pretty interesting about the O-line's offseason involving the new quarterback. But just the first thing was Omar being asked about all the stuff, and they did a lot, and he struggled to remember all of it because there was a lot of it, all the stuff they did this offseason.
It wasn't good enough. And when we talked about change having to happen, I know people maybe expect to change sooner than later, but change doesn't always happen at the pace everybody expects. But we knew changes had to be made, and here we are.
Here we are, kaboom. Here changes have been made, and lots of them. And here's the thing. Here's the thing I thought about after listening to Omar talk about the amount of change that happened. Everybody talking about all the new faces that are in camp this year. You know, we get mad that they don't meet our expectations, right? That they keep losing in the first round of the playoffs, yada, yada, yada. And then we say, well, something's got to change, damn it. But we know full well the head coach isn't going to change until the head coach, you know, wants to do something else. The next best thing this organization can do every year is go out and turn over a ton of the roster when you're not happy with what they did in the previous season. And so here they have gone out and turned over big, major, important chunks of the roster, and people still don't seem to be happy. Some people anyway. I know a lot of people are excited and interested to see how it works out. Sounds like a lot of the people that were in Latrobe yesterday at St. Vincent felt that way. But here we are. They're doing everything they can. It may not be, I don't know what else people expected them to do, but they're doing everything they can to try and affect a different outcome this year.
Yeah, I think the issue is they would much rather they're wasting a year in a lot of people's eyes. Hey, let's not sink this money into these guys, these one-year veteran guys. Let's worry about getting that franchise quarterback next year. They're doing, you know, a little bit of half, a little bit this, half a little bit that, which I actually applaud them for. I mean, you're in a point right now. This might be, Mac, the only year we see this to this degree of turnover like this, because Omar made a point, man. I mean, they had 8 draft picks last year. They got 12 to 13 more this year just by natural progression. This roster is going to be 35% under the age of 24 next year. So by naturally going about your business, there's a youth movement on its way right now. So in the interim, why don't you try to go out there and win? And they didn't sacrifice anything to get this done other than potential money that they were going to spend anyway. So there's no guarantees. We know everything looks good on paper, but it can go either way right now. But I actually applaud them. And more than anything, I applaud Omar because this has changed massively since he's been here.
Yeah.
Now, he must have some stroke with the owner if he's going knocking on his door. And even Mike Tomlin said, hey, let's try this. I'm like, okay, that's not a bad idea. In the past, they wouldn't do anything like this. So at least they're trying for something. It might not work out, but at least they're trying. And I think they got a decent opportunity here ahead of them of being successful.
I'll use a hockey analogy. They've pulled the goalie on the 2025 season. Not to say they're not going to try to play any defense, but like, they're all in on this year. And if it fails, okay, like you said, then it's a full-on youth movement next year. Yeah, you'll still have pieces around like Metcalf and Ramsey. And yeah, Cam's probably going to play until he's 62 and TJ's not going anywhere. But they're all in on this year behind the notion that Rodgers is enough of an upgrade at quarterback, which, by the way, Justin Fields apparently got hurt at Jets camp this morning, unrelated to what we're talking about here, but interesting nonetheless. They think it's a big enough upgrade at quarterback and the other moves they've made that they can be markedly better than last year.
It could be, or it could go the other way. I mean, it can go south in a hurry.
In which case, you've already stocked the roster with a bunch of young guys, and you'll have, like you said, 13 picks in the draft next year.
I mean, hypothetically, you would imagine they would package some of those things to move around.
Yeah.
But I don't see the problem with trying to win now and preserve in the future, which is not an easy thing. I don't know if anybody's ever even accomplished that ever in the history of sports to try to toe but that
line. Steelers would have been one of the last teams you expected to try to do this, and here they are trying to do it. Like, the Steelers would have been one of those teams to just let everybody get old and age out, or trade them away before they got old and aged out, and try to rebuild through the draft over the course of 4 or 5 years. And instead, here they are saying, no, we're trying to do both at the same time. So, like, you, I give them credit for that, and we'll see where it goes.
You look at the Pirates, and you would die for them to put some capital into their season this year. If you look at the Penguins, they tried to half-ass it one way and half-ass it the other way, and we see where they're at right now in total 100% rebuild, which where the Steelers might be next year.
Right.
So at least they're trying something. But on the we say here, at least they're trying something. Their mentality is we have a good chance to win it this year.
Well, you have to go in with that mentality. You can't go in with the mentality of, oh, we threw some stuff at the wall. Let's see what sticks. They're going in believing that they can do it and that it'll work. So, again, like you said, maybe it doesn't work. Omar and Mike Tomlin have the job security that it's not like they're going to get fired if they go 6-11. They'll just reset.
And the other one just got an extension.
Yeah, so nobody's going anywhere. We're going to see how it works out. Thanks to our friends at Southwest Greens. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. You want to have the best-looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance? Do what our one buddy Phil out in Plum did. He called up Southwest Greens, went to southwestgreenspa.com, had him come out, show him what they could do for his backyard. He's got a beautiful surface out there now. He's a big golfer. He can putt on it if he wants, right? Practice a little golf. The kids can play on it. The pets can go on it, whether it's just a little spot around the pool or the play set or the whole damn yard. You can get it done with southwestgreenspa.com. Get a hold of them. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you, and they'll get on out there and hook you up, like I said, with the best-looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. So the biggest story, obviously, and Omar was asked about this, the new quarterback.
Some people might view my patience or our patience as a weakness, but we view it as a strength. And we just felt good about it. If there was a point where we didn't think things would end up where we wanted to end up, we would have, you know, gone in a different direction. But we just felt comfortable and felt good about it. And, you know, we wanted Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers wanted to be a Steeler, and it worked out.
It worked out. And one of the
hell of a question. Hell of a question.
I wonder who asked that.
It was a fight. That media room was packed, and there was people screaming over each other and stuff.
I heard it.
Very childish, but I was able to get a couple in. I mean, the pool behind the curtains, they have assigned seats there. So wherever you sit in the media room gives you preferential treatment of asking questions. Of course, the people up front get a better shot at it because they're right in front.
Right.
And our friends at the Trib really skirted it a little bit, man.
Oh.
They're going three wide on the table, and wow, and Benzie's standing just to hoard it all up. So,
well,
Benzie, I mean, this is against the rules here, brother. You know, you can't be hoarding.
It makes him look taller if he stands, though. Sorry.
It's,
So Omar was asked about Rodgers, and then Pursuta asked Mike Tomlin about Rodgers later about, you know, whether he was worried at all, or and Mike Tomlin said, I never wavered. I felt a whole lot better about it than any of you guys obviously did. Sure, I trusted in this. And so clearly, you know, we got the impression that they felt good about Rodgers coming in, even if the rest of the world was losing their mind over it for about a month and a half. And they backed that up. And look, I do think they probably had other avenues that they were going to explore, probably did explore before they went down Rodgers Street. But once they committed to Rodgers and Rodgers expressed an interest, like, I just don't think it was as hazy and questionable as maybe a lot of us thought it was, because they seemed very sold on the fact that Rodgers was going to be here from the start.
I'd be questioning the word us, because I told you back.
I know.
If there wasn't a,
on the back.
Well, if there wasn't some sort of mutual agreement, wink, wink, nod, nod, and I wrote this and people called me a freaking moron, which it might be true, but whatever. The Steelers would not move forward unless they were 100% sure that this was happening. And I think after Roger showed up in the Malibu on when the Duquesne Dukes were playing. No, was that Robert Morris? My fault. Our friend Andy told Robert Morris was playing on that Friday. That they pretty much knew darn well what the hell was going on right there. They wouldn't have moved forward. You can't run an organization on the hopes and prayers of somebody making a decision like that. However, we always fell back on it's Aaron Rodgers. Anything, even if he told you he was coming, you never knew. But they pretty much knew from probably March on that he was coming here.
So it worked out for him. And
we're supposed to talk today, but we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I had an inkling that he wouldn't be a first day guy, that they would save him for another day when he feels like it. We'll
see about it next Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When Pat and the boys are in town. I can't wait to see how that works, by the way.
Like Shefty. Rick Barry's asked me if Shefty was in the room. Shefty hasn't been to Pittsburgh since 2001. And he used to cover the Broncos for the Rocky Mountain Gazette or something. That's the only time I've ever seen him here.
Really?
Yeah.
When you're a big-time league-wide insider, you just cover the league from your phone, you know?
Yeah, apparently it's going to be a skit show at camp this year with people coming in thinking they're getting the Aaron Rodgers exclusive. By the way, I've already told this story, but Aaron Rodgers, this is how meticulous he is with his details. He made sure that the Steelers PR people gave him a booklet of all the media people so he was prepared of who he's talking to.
Yeah, he knows all about you.
You know, if I have to be prepared to go out there and play, I should be prepared for who I'm talking to right now. How about that?
No stone unturned, as somebody would say.
I'm just wondering if there's little notes here. Notes. Don't talk to this person. Note, Chris Adamski likes to babble on a lot, but he'll eventually get to the question. I mean, I just wonder if there was any little notes there.
Tim Bent stands the whole time.
Tim Bent, if he gets too long-winded, just look at him and say, I have no idea what you just asked me.
I bet they do. The thing. Like, another peek behind the curtain, like, teams prepare their players and their coaches and execs for the media.
Did you hear Jalen Ramsey yesterday?
What about Adamski?
Jalen Ramsey, I'm saying. Did you hear him?
Oh, yeah. We've got a
he was prepped.
He was prepped. He knew exactly what was coming. He
shouldn't say what was going to be asked and what wasn't going to be asked.
We'll get to that in a second, assuming the rest of these clips work. In fact, Tomlin was asked about Aaron Rodgers' workload. I'm just curious because this was
my question again. Thanks. I appreciate this.
It's all about you here, bud. Let's see if this works.
This is a workaholic. From my perspective,
Yeah, that's not working at all. The production value that everyone came for is not up to standard.
Since I asked the question, I think the response was something to the fact of, the guy likes to work. He doesn't want any days off. If he does get a day off, it's just so I can get the other guys some looks, basically what he said. I don't know how much I believe that.
I mean, yeah, that's what I was going to ask. How much do you buy into the fact that Rodgers is actually going to be out there working in
there, but those reps could be very limited. I mean, you could say I practiced all 16 times, but when you get 8 reps – you know, and Mason Rudolph's running the ones and Will Howard's running the twos. Is that really considered a day of practice? But we're talking about 42 here. You know, hopefully Justin Fields is okay, but he's 15 years younger than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he's got time to heal.
Yeah. What I'm saying is things can go in a hurry. So I don't know. You want to get him up to speed, but you don't want to put him at risk.
The one thing I thought was interesting and talking about the details, the nitty gritty that Rodgers got into, and I guess this was more a team thing, a coaching staff thing. And again, the clips just absolutely shit the bed on me. So this one probably won't work either. So I won't even bother trying to play it.
It gives a good fodder for us to laugh at. Or me.
Sure. We'll try. Are you ready?
Play it and I can, if it doesn't work.
And you can tell people what was actually said when it doesn't work?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay. How about this? This is Troy Faletano.
From my perspective, it was just
I have no idea.
Box to check, and now we're on to
football.
Just try more here.
You can't even get used to hearing it.
There's Mike Tomlin talking over Troy Faletano clip. I mean, who the hell put this shit together?
I don't know what Troy said because I've talked to Troy enough, and Troy says the same thing every single time. So whatever he said there, he probably said in May and probably in January and probably in October last year. So
well, no, this is interesting.
You have to keep me up to speed on this one.
I'll get you up to speed. The coaching staff apparently gave the offensive lineman before they left for the summer, or maybe earlier. He was, you know, not specific about the time frame. Clips of Rodgers' cadence so that they could study it and be more prepared for it. Like that's,
yeah, I mean, that's what he's known for.
Yeah. So I mean, okay,
can
I think
can we do it? Does he do it?
It works. Whatever the hell he does, it draws people off sides all the time. So now the offensive line has to be prepared for that. And like I said, I know the coaching staff put it together for him, but I wonder if that was like another little detail that Rodgers went to them and said, "Hey, might help the O lineman if you do this."
Could be, or they could just know Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
and what he's been known for over the years of getting those guys to jump like that. I mean, I never even thought of that angle of it, of an offensive lineman and the different cadences. But if you're any sort of professional and you go up there and say, "Hey, it's on two." I mean, I'm going to contradict myself because sometimes if you even say, "Hey, it's on two, it's on hut,"
guys still,
you're like, "Okay, it's on two. Ah, shit, he got me." You know, even though you're telling yourself, as soon as you're up there, it's on two. The second hut gets you, and you're like, "Damn it, I knew it. How the hell did this happen?" So, I'm just wondering if they do some individual drills more than just, you know, clips. Well, it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's something you got to work on, I would think, especially Zach Frazier. Although he's a professional, he'll be up on it. Thanks to our friends at Nail Studio 2 for supporting the show as well. We appreciate them. Look, it's still summertime. It's still beach and pool season. You know somebody wants to get their nails did. That's what my wife and daughter are off doing today together before we head out on vacation later this weekend, getting their nails and their toes done. Not for me. But hey, guys, your feet get beat up. You want a pedicure? There's nothing wrong with that. Plenty of guys get that done. Whatever you're looking for, Nail Studio 2. Nail Studio 2 with a Roman numeral there, .com to book online. NailStudioII.com. Or just give them a call, 724-941-4595. They're right out there on 19 next to Juniper Grill in Peters Township, McMurray area. So easy to get to. And like I said, you can book everything online, gift certificates for those that you want to get something for. It's all out there at Nail Studio 2. They're super busy, always looking to hire another nail tech or two if you know somebody that's good at that and looking for a gig. NailStudio2.com. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. All right, from Rodgers to the rest of the offense. Tomlin was asked about Jonnu Smith basically functioning as a wide receiver too. And he kind of, I don't want to say he shot down the question, but he framed it a different way. He talked about, as Tomlin likes to do, eligibles, right? Like he's an eligible receiver. You can call him wide receiver too if you want. It doesn't matter if he's a Y, an H, a Z, whatever name you want to put on the position, Jonnu Smith is going to be out there, and they're going to use all the weapons at their disposal. It sounded like between that and some stuff we'll talk about later with Juan Thornhill and the safeties and all that, that they're not racing to go out and find another receiver to add to the group.
No, I mean, they could eventually go down that path depending on what happens here over the next 2 or 3 weeks. But one thing, you want to get under Tomlin's skin a little bit, refer to somebody as a wide receiver two or wide receiver three. No, they're just wide receivers. You know, that's how he looks at them. So, I don't think they're quite. Although I did have a dream last night that they acquired Amari Cooper. I was somewhere and I was somewhere in Latrobe and I saw Omar and he goes, "Hey, Omar said to me, hey, Mark, did you meet Amari Cooper here? And I'm like, oh, what's up, Amari? What a hell of a dream. Now I think about it.
That's like, those are the kind of dreams that Kabali has.
I know,
dreams about Omar and Amari Cooper. But Tomlin mentioned both Roman. Well, actually, he mentioned Roman Wilson and just the group as a whole has to take a step forward. Didn't mention Calvin Austin. I don't think that was on purpose or anything, but mentioned Roman Wilson. And it sounds to me, and you've kind of said this for a couple weeks, they're going to get through the beginning of training camp, if not most of the preseason, and see what these guys can do. If they can, you know, step into that role as the next guy, Robert Woods, for that matter. And if they get to the end of training camp or the end of the preseason and they're not totally comfortable, then they'll go out and snap somebody up.
What did Omar say? You played the quote, you know, about his patience. People think it's detrimental. Mm-hmm. We think it's a strength. That's the same thing. It's just being very, very deliberate in their actions right now. But I'm still thinking Calvin Austin can produce what they need out of that position. You don't need 90 catches. I mean, what you want is DK Metcalf to have those 80, 90 catches. You want Smith and Freiermuth. You want Gainwell to jump in there. Well, I don't think Caleb Johnson's going to catch any balls anytime soon. But then you got Jaylen Warren. You want that whole thing to come together. I don't think you really need a legit, as we call him, number two receiver. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the last 2 years should have proven me wrong.
Or maybe, like, it's still a giant question mark. Like, I still think they need to go out and get somebody because I saw what the offense looked like when Pickens was out last year. And if Metcalf misses any length of time, I think you're screwed. But they're looking at it through that lens of, hey, patience is our strength, and we'll wait to see if one of these guys can step up into that role or how the offense works without going out and getting somebody else in camp in the preseason. And if it works well, great. We don't need to go out and get anybody. If it doesn't work well, then we still retain the option of adding somebody towards the end of the preseason and before the regular season even starts.
I mean, you think about it, the guys we talk about, the, you know, the Gabe Davises, Amaris, and Keenan Allens, I mean, nobody else has signed them. So it almost leads, I mean, they're good enough receivers that they could have signed with somebody by now. So they're trying to play the old waiting game, too, to see who needs us and get paid the money as well. I mean, I wouldn't kick Amari Cooper out of bed, as they say. Maybe that's a bad analogy.
That's a bad analogy. Don't go with that.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't say, no, I don't want him. But I do believe that Calvin Austin is going to be – I don't know why. I just think he is on that trajectory of being a solid player. But, yeah, did you see who did not show up to the Commanders?
Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, holding out. Holding out.
Problem with that is
there's no cap space, really.
I mean, if you get the cap space, I mean, you can always work around that. You're going to have to give up draft capital, and they've made it quite clear that they don't want to mess with next year's draft capital unless you can. That's what they did with They did that with Jonnu and Jalen. They gave them 2027s and 2026. You don't think that's by design?
By design, yeah. And you also have then you'd have to extend McLaurin. It's not that I don't like the idea of bringing in a receiver of McLaurin's talent and ability, but you'd also have to extend them, and then you're probably talking about spending upwards of $50, $60 million on receivers per year in the next couple of years between Metcalf and
McLaurin. I would never say never because Omar, but unlikely.
Unlikely. It's a good way to put it.
You know, we'll see. I mean, by the way, I'm just regressing here, telling you how much I hate this first 4 weeks, 4 days of practice. Even Tomlin hates them. He's like, call me on Tuesday, man.
Once they get in the pads and start tackling.
I mean, only that is they're limited. They're only allowed to be on the field for so long today. It's a glorified walkthrough again.
Well,
acclimated? What are we talking about here? These are professional athletes.
It's written into the CBA, Bob.
1977. Nobody's working at sheets during the offseason.
Yeah, and John Clayton's not out there looking to track how many padded practices Chuck Knoll has either. I mean, so go look up that story, kids, for the younger crew out there. Let's see if the Juan Thornhill thing works, because Omar said,
testy, huh?
Yeah, and Mike Tomlin said as well that, you know, they're going to see how things go. They're not necessarily running out to go get another safety. The Thornhill thing isn't even downloaded. Kaboom, this is going great. Oh, there it is. Hold on, let's see if it works.
Wait, why does he have to prove himself still? The guy just came off a Super Bowl.
That's great.
Playing great, so he shouldn't have to prove himself at all. So I definitely think everybody's going to play with a chip on our shoulder. Like, I definitely will be. I can't really speak for those guys, but I hopefully they'll do the same.
So Juan Thornhill, yeah, testy, salty, whatever word you want to use.
Through the mud, baby.
Yeah, maybe some rabbit ears hearing what people have to say about him being a starting safety now that Minka's gone and he's not happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is every feeling I got over the past day or so was is it might be a one Thornhill type of year. They just want him to prevent the deep ball. They want to play man coverage underneath, have him prevent the deep ball, have Deshaun Elliott more be the box guy, have two inside linebackers who can play three downs and be very active, and let the edge guys go get the quarterback. I mean, it's as simple as that. So I got a feeling that it's going to be a one, unless Thornhill just totally – craps the bed here. I have a feeling he's going to be your starting safety this year.
Well, I think we get caught up too in thinking about the old way of, hey, there's clearly a free safety, there's clearly a strong safety. You know, in the heyday, it was Polamalu, obviously, is the strong safety, and whoever the free safety was. And this feels like it's going to be like, I get it. Elliott is capable of coming up in the box, and Deshaun Elliott is a thumper, and he can make those plays. But I just think they're going to use both safeties as safeties. And as Tomlin put it yesterday, and I'll play the clip in a minute if it works, you know, they look at them as coverage guys, right? Like, if you can cover, you're going to be on the field covering somebody. Yeah. And look, it doesn't make me feel any better about what happens, for example, if Thornhill gets hurt and they're down to, what, Deshaun Elliott and, I don't know, Killebrew as their starting safeties. But which is why I think that's even more of a priority than another receiver during camp and during the preseason before the regular season starts. It's not necessarily a lack of belief in Juan Thornhill. It's, hey, you've gone out and made all these moves, and that's great. It's awesome. I'm excited about them too, but you're precariously thin at a couple of positions, and safety is probably at the top of the list for being one of those positions where you're scary thin.
Yeah, but I don't know how much safety means to him anymore. I mean, they're quite willing to get rid of Minka Fitzpatrick, a guy who's, you know, just patrols the back half of the defense for a straight screw coverage corner. I think that tells us where their mindset is. I mean, the first thing I got – Tomlin talked for, what, 12, 15 minutes? I don't even know. Mm-hmm. The first thing I said, I don't even know who was sitting next to me. Maybe Alan Sanders. Who was sitting next to me? I said, boy – he really likes his man safeties now, don't he?
Yeah.
Honestly, this is how they view their defense is going to work. They're going to start all three of those guys. Slayton, Porter.
Slay, Porter.
When I say Slayton, Slay, yeah. Porter, Ramsey. They're going to be introduced on the old Jumbotron at Acrisure, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be on the field as much as possible. He's going to tell the defensive coaching staff, make sure those guys are on the field as much as possible, because they haven't been a true man coverage team for years now. They've been doing it with smoke and mirrors, man. And you can only get away with, the smoke and mirrors and the fake pressures and the fake, you know,
the dummy blitzes,
a man in the zone so often before they realize it right now. They're figuring those three guys are going to take out the three best receivers, including Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Going to have Thornhill being able to prevent the deep ball. And they're going to let TJ, Herbig, Watt just get to the quarterback. And I wouldn't be surprised in her up in the mid-50s into sacks again if everything plays out like
well, they anticipate. It's another risk-reward proposition. It's another all-in kind of deal where you say, hey, you know what? If we're going to go out and get these guys, we're going to go all in on their ability to cover people so we can go all in on getting after the quarterback. It's, I don't call it a zero sum game, but you're either going to get to the quarterback 5, 6, 7 times a week, or you're not going to get to the quarterback. And these guys, granted, Ramsey's still great in man coverage. Porter, when he's not getting called for penalties, I think is solid in man coverage. Slay, we've seen what he can do, even if he's getting older, are going to be counted on to not give up big plays. But when they do, and big plays do happen, the other team tries to win, you know, it can't happen too often, I guess, is my point. You have to get to the quarterback or else you're going to give up big plays on the back end. You can't give up big plays. You've got to be tight man coverage from the snap or else your guys up front aren't going to have time to get to the
point. The problem has been over the past couple of years where the sack numbers have dipped was his teams knew they couldn't play man. So it was dump off after dump off after 4-yard gain. And you're screaming at the TV of why aren't you covering these guys underneath? Because you know why? Because we don't have man corners and we have to play zone and they know we're playing zone. So they're taking the easy throw. I think they got fed up with that. And I think that was issue number one when how they got Minka. They're like, okay, we don't want to give up Minka, but we're tired of playing this way. We need to play this way. That's why we got Slay. That's why we got Ramsey. That's why we still think Joey Porter. I mean, for everything Joey Porter is, the guy is still 6'2", physical specimen who can play man coverage. And if the worst comes to worst, if he's playing man coverage against, I can never remember his name. Help me out again.
For who? From where?
Cincinnati guy.
Yoshivas.
I like my chances with Joey Porter and Yoshivas.
You know how to spell Yoshivas?
It's like FJPRGIG.
Keyboard like mash. Is it just when you know how you hit your computer the other day because you were mad at it? And a bunch of stuff just popped up on the screen. That's how you spell Yoshivas' name.
When you do that, don't you always start with the letter Q first, somewhat reason?
No, I do the old. Did you take typing class in high school? That's how old we are, people. ASDFJKL semicolon.
Ninth grade, I took typing class and I start typing with my nose, and my teacher like failed me.
None of that is surprising.
You know what I thought? I'm like, yeah, when am I ever going to type?
Yeah. Now, what do you do for a living?
Typing, man.
Good job by you.
Fingers hurt. You know what sucks, though? What? If you go from like a Mac, and I have a Mac now, to like a PC and a regular keyboard, the keys are so much differently spaced out. It's like it's really hard to get back used to it.
Yeah, you got big hands, man. You look like a T-Rex trying to type on a small
computer. You know what they say, big hands, big gloves.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of Ramsey, let's see if this clip works because he was not going to give up anything.
And so from my perspective, it was just about...
Nope. See, we still got Mike Tomlin talking football over this clip. This is why you come to Kamali and Matt right here.
We got a
look,
fire.
The audio's still playing, even though I took the video away. This producer sucks.
You know what it is.
So,
this producer's already in like the Caribbean or something right now.
Yeah, short timer. Ramsey was asked a bunch of different ways, but point blank, I think, by Brooke Breyer about whether he was going to play corner or safety or where he's going to be in the secondary. And he responded by saying he's going to play football. Okay. So there you go. Like you said earlier, he was briefed. He knew how to respond and said nothing. He's just going to be on the field. And Tomlin said, like you mentioned a minute ago, all three of these guys are going to start. It's not like we're not going to start Ramsey, Slay, or Porter.
And there's going to be times that one's going to be in the slot, the other not going to be in the slot. There's going to be matchups. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, if we actually had a decent producer, would be able to pull the clip of him saying, you know, I travel. That's what I do. I mean, so he may have given some stuff away there where if it's T. Higgins, I'm going to follow him. You know what I'm interested in? What did I just do there?
Where'd you go? What happened?
Oh, goodness. I'm half.
Wait, you want to blame all this technical bullshit on me? Yeah. Half of it's on you, brother. What is that? Okay, you're back.
Yeah, I think I accidentally unplugged my camera. What the hell are we talking about?
Ramsey traveling, playing all over the formation. All three are going to be on the field all the time.
You know what I'm interested in seeing? What happens when they do put pads on here and Ramsey versus Metcalf, because those two don't really get along. Well, I don't know if they get along now, but they've had some
epic battles,
past encounters.
Yeah.
And I wonder if I would imagine that bleeds out onto the field now. I mean, you just don't forget that. You got two competitors there. So we might be seeing some interesting clips from
Camp Fight.
Weirdos in the stand.
Camp Fight. Yeah. Everybody loves a good camp fight.
Look at this play.
I do think it's going to be interesting. Like Mike Tomlin said, I don't care what the offensive personnel is. I'm going to have all three of those guys out there. Yeah. You know, we mentioned it a couple episodes ago. When teams are committed to running the ball because they've seen that teams ran the ball on the Steelers down the stretch last year, at what point does he decide, okay, I can't have five D-backs out there? Or does it become a thing where, like people have theorized, we'll have four D-backs out there, but Ramsey slides out into the middle of the field to play a little bit more of a safety type role? I mean, teams are going to test them on the ground, especially early on in the season, to see if they're still as soft up the middle as they were at the end of last year.
Yeah, you can have as many man coverage corners you want there. However, Ramsey's a good tackler. Porter is tackling a lot better. So it's not like these guys can't tackle from that position. But what happens if they do just go, you know, jumbo, take them out of their three man coverage sets, you know? Unless it's more of a third down thing that they're more interested in. But, I mean, it seems like they built their defense not with Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, specifically in mind.
No, it seems like they built it with Joe Burrow and the Bengals in mind.
The majority of the NFL. I mean, who doesn't have three wide receivers mostly all times, except maybe – the Ravens.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, when you look at the schedule, and not to sit here and do a week-by-week breakdown of the schedule, but you would think the first three teams they play are all going to lean more on their running backs and run game than lining up three receivers and a tight end or four receivers in standard situations. Like, the Jets are going to lean on running the ball, especially if Justin Fields is hurt. The Seahawks are probably going to run the ball because they don't have a ton of receivers outside of Cooper Kupp. The Patriots, Ramondre Stevenson, and all they got at receiver is Stephon Diggs. So I would think all three of those offenses and all three of those coaches are going to look at the Steelers' performance down the stretch last year and say, hey, they didn't do that much up front, did they? Where'd you go again?
Same shit's happening, man.
Stop messing with the cables. And they're going to try and run the ball at them. Like, that's just what I foresee in the first 3 weeks of the season. And I think if those teams don't test it early and often in each of those first few games, then they don't know what the hell they're doing, especially with the Steelers adding so much in the secondary.
It seems like Justin Fields suffered a dislocated toe.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, but it's not a big toe, so it doesn't look like that's going to be
you know, turf toe ended Jack Lambert's career.
Yeah, but that was a big toe, too.
I know. But people always like to bring that up when you mention toes. And
Jack Lambert. So he should be, you imagine he'd be ready at that point.
But still, they're going to want to run the ball, whether it's the Jets week one, Seahawks week two, Patriots week three. Early in the season, you're trying to see if teams can stop what they were not good at last year. And the Steelers at the end of the year were not good at stopping the run.
If that's the worry you have the worry there. You got two inside guys who are athletes more than run stuffers, and you got a defensive line, as Jalen Ramsey would say, the best defensive line in the league. I'm like, you must not have looked at the roster lately there, Jalen. But
yeah, he was yeah, he's not quite as up on the defense.
I still think if there's a place on this defense where you're susceptible, it's up the gut.
No, and I've come around to agree with you in that regard. Like, that's the biggest question mark on the defense. I mean, we could talk about Queen and Wilson and the inside backers, but, you know, Queen has to be better than last year. It's up the middle. And just in general, are teams able to run on them like they were at the end of last year? And if they are, then adding Slay and Ramsey and Thornhill and all this on the back end, you're right, doesn't matter how many corners you have on the field. Thanks to the guys at Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. It's hot out there. It's going to be hot this weekend. And, well, you know, it's summertime. So if the AC isn't working, you want to get it looked at. Maybe not working as well as you wanted to. Whatever. They'll come out, see if it's just a maintenance issue, something needs repaired, something needs replaced. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook to get a hold of them, or just give them a call, 412-297-1852. Don't sweat your ass off while you're sitting at home this summer. It's still hot out there. Get it taken care of. We appreciate Impact HVAC supporting the show as well. All right. So I was going to try and play Tomlin talking about Ramsey. This is just a disaster right now. This is a longer clip. So if it actually works, it combines like three of his answers. I tightened them up for brevity.
I'm guessing that it's like a Steelers defense against the Ravens. It's just going to not work.
You're probably right. It's probably going to be a disaster. It'll be entertaining. But we're gonna give it a try.
Either way.
Yeah, and if not, we've already talked about some of the stuff that he mentions here, but I think it's worth playing what the head coach had to say. Let's see if it works.
So from my perspective, it's just second.
Not working at all.
When he came out in the draft, I think he was the number one safety on our board.
Two pieces of audio playing, no video. That's great. That's awesome. Fire the producer.
Didn't you cut your teeth in the producing world too? With the old
yeah, and I'd like to think I was pretty good at it, but this has totally shit the bed this morning.
You're getting too big for your britches, man. You gotta go back to your roots.
No, I'm worried about the washer dryer delivery guys knocking on the door any minute.
Well, I got that going on the program. I'll give them a free freaking ad.
They want to install a washer and dryer and get the hell out of here.
Oh, you know what? By the way, I don't know how they do that at Voss, but they won't remove they won't install the washer unless if it's the hose is rusted. They're like, we can't do anything about this.
I'm
like,
I think it's all taken care of. I didn't go take care of it, but my wife went, and she's smarter than me at this stuff, and I think she took care of everything. Talked to a very nice guy named Matt who helped get everything squared away.
Maybe you should get her to download some video.
It's a hell of an idea, actually. Hell of an idea, kaboom. It was just Tomlin talking about Ramsey, where he's going to play on the field. A lot of the stuff we've already talked about, how they're going to use him. He's going to be on the field all the time. And something that you alluded to earlier, like, they are all in on man coverage concepts and all in on getting after the quarterback. I kind of wanted to play what the head coach had to say to reinforce all that.
Normally, he doesn't reveal much, and he basically just said it.
Yeah.
I'm putting my guys out there. The hell with you guys. You think you can beat him? Go ahead. I don't know if that's a flawed way of thinking or not, but
we're going to find
out. I mean, he's in absolute love with all three of those corners. Now, it sounds like he's going to let the defensive staff come up with the plans, but he wanted those guys on his roster.
Well, and again, all three of them are good enough that they shouldn't come off the field, except in extreme circumstances, right? So,
is Beanie Bishop coming in? He does.
He even mentioned Brandon Echols. He gave Brandon Echols a name drop yesterday, Mike Tomlin.
Hey, what about TJ Watt? He gave Corey Trice a shout out. A
lot of love for the cornerback room yesterday at St. Vincent from everybody.
TJ needs to get some residuals here from Sharkies. He goes, we'll go down to Sharkies and
I was going to try to play that too, but again,
here's the thing about that is now every Yinzer in the world is going to show up after practice thinking TJ Watt's going to be there eating wings.
Yeah, let's try this clip too. I'm sure it won't work, but what the hell? We've tried every other one today.
So from my perspective, it was just the box to check, and now
at some point, I'm sure with the guys and
still playing Mike Tomlin.
All the traditions.
So from my perspective,
screw this. I'm done for the day, man.
Well, put it this way: you put together a package of like giving potential sponsors. Make sure you don't include this video.
Hey, it's a two-man show.
All that work for nothing.
All that work for nothing. None of those clips work. There's one last one I want to try before we right. go.
I mean, Rick Barry says give Zeke the call. Zeke would have this shit up and rolling real quick.
Yeah, well, Zito wants to get paid, though, and he has a job already.
Zito does have a pretty good job, and he's Zito, so he's a legend. He's not quite on the level of Hawk yet, but he's a legend.
He's up there. All right, I'm going to try one more clip. This one I didn't mention to you because I wanted to surprise you with the veteran savvy of a young player yesterday at St. Vincent. Let's see if it works and if Mike Tomlin doesn't talk over it, okay?
And so from my perspective, it was just the box to check, and now we're on to football.
One more here.
You can still the video. Look at that. Hold on, I want to play it again.
And so from my perspective, it was just the box to check, and now we're on to football.
One more here.
Sneaking by everyone while there was some big group of people around, you know, surrounding someone, Will Howard, smart enough, veteran savvy, to just hop out of the golf cart, walk right down the steps. Hey guys, what's up? And sneak by so he doesn't get absolutely.
Rookies had to report Tuesday, so I don't know where the hell he was coming from.
I don't know, but he was there and he was ready to sneak around the media. That's a veteran maneuver.
Well, hard.
Will Howard. Get ready for that, too. The first time he throws a nice ball at practice, everybody's going to be all over that again.
Yeah. I mean, we got social media videographers in the stands, so you'll be seeing some stuff. I can't wait till you give the first shout-out of using the video of Metcalf Berg or some whoever during practice.
Did you see Jackson Dart's first pass at Giants camp?
Pick six.
My guy. Pick six on the first pass of training camp. That's not a good sign. That's about as Giants as it gets. The Browns had a great moment yesterday.
I mean, which one? Goofy.
The poop Brown helmet.
Garrett saying he's going to win the defensive player of the year and they're going to win the Super Bowl, or the guy that looked like he was wearing a Kenny Pickett jersey falling into Lake Cuyahoga or wherever the hell it was.
That is about the most Browns thing that could ever happen. That dude falling into the lake.
I wonder what our friend Ken Carman up in Cleveland would have to say. He has to be gone. We can't hear them throw our helmet right.
Oh, the Browns is the Browns, as somebody famously once said.
He fell into the lake.
Just zero spatial awareness.
And I was looking
out there on that
dock. Real? Is this AI? I'm like, is this really happened?
It almost looked choreographed. Like, I questioned it for a second. Like, did they mean to do that? Are they trying to be funny? But it's the Browns. No, it's just a fail.
What shirt did he have on? It did look like a picket shirt from afar, a Steelers picket shirt, but I don't know what it was.
I think it was a number 8, but I think it had a different name on the back. So I'm not sure what it was. If like the social media guy has a personalized jersey or something.
Not they even mention. They're ugly as hell. They're brown instead of orange.
I mean, I will say this. They're the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. They should wear brown. You can argue whether it's poop brown or not, but and how appropriate that might or might not be. But like, they should wear brown. They're the Cleveland Browns. It never made sense to me as a kid, and really never since, that they had orange helmets, even though they were the Browns.
You know what? All through the 80s and early 90s, they would never wear the brown jerseys. They'd always be white on white. And if you force the Browns to wear their dark uniforms, only certain teams would do that.
Yeah.
Dallas. they would force them to wear, because that in Washington, maybe those were teams back in the 80s that always wore white. And first time I saw like a Browns jersey, I'm like, this is disgusting. Now I know why they wear white jerseys.
But you're called the Browns.
But your owner is also like the owner of the freaking Bengals, right?
Well, the guy, Paul Brown, ended up going to Cincinnati. Yeah.
It's just, I mean.
It's Ohio, man.
Well,
it's Ohio.
First they light the goddamn Cuyahoga River on fire, and now the helmet social media guy falls into the lake.
It doesn't get much better than that, Kaboom.
Well, unless Myles Garrett, like, requests a trade on his own letterhead.
And then took it back 3 days later.
And says he got paid. I wanted to be here.
Oh, I think we can win a championship. Okay, bud. Good luck. They can laugh at everybody in Pittsburgh all they want. I mean, they're still the Browns.
That team's going to win 3 games.
Hold on. Let me look at their schedule. Which 3 games could they possibly win? They could beat the Dolphins.
They could beat the Steelers in Cleveland, because that tends to happen from time to time.
Always a friggin' possibility. They could maybe beat the Patriots. They could beat the Jets. They could beat the Raiders, maybe.
What are you talking about? Their running back's in jail. Their quarterback should be in jail.
Oh, they play the Titans. They'll beat the Titans.
Here we go again. Jesus Christ.
We need to just be done for the day. This has been a total disaster.
I don't know what it is. Every time I hit my button here.
What button is that? Don't hit that button anymore.
I'm going to try something here. Oh!
Nope.
No, because I'm trying to plug it into a different US whatever. Okay, now we got to do this. No, shoot. Half of me again. What a disaster!
This is an unmitigated disaster, Horse.
Good now.
Well, just in time to wrap the show up. Good job by you. Don't forget, if you are subscribed on YouTube, you got a chance, thanks to our friends at First and Goal Sports, First and Goal Collectibles out at South Hills Village, to win that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. We only got another 500 subscribers to go. Make sure you're one of them, and then we'll have a random drawing to give that autographed Skeens baseball to somebody. We've hooked people up with what? We've had an autographed Bettis jersey. We've had an autographed Sidney Crosby plaque. What else have we given away to
Friermuth? The Chris Mack autographed Penn State helmet.
Mark Cabali signed helmet too. I was at
my kid's tryout the other day, and the guy next to me goes, "Hey, I'm going to run up to Yoli's and get a sandwich. I'll be back." I was like, "Hey, I know where you can get a $100 gift card
right here from your friends Cabali and Mack." Make sure you're following on Instagram.
He was going to get the Filipponi, he said, but he didn't. Because it's too messy.
I haven't tried the Filipponi.
Yeah, you already have enough Filipponi for one day, huh?
Yeah. that's going to do it for today's episode. Next time, I promise shit will work. And if it doesn't, we'll just blame it on the producer. Cabali's going to go pick up his kid and then run out to St. Vincent for the first day of practice. Which, as you've heard him say, will just be a glorified walkthrough. And do you have time to do this again tomorrow?
Yeah, probably same thing. I got to do the same exact thing tomorrow.
Come
home. I got to do, what's his name? Donnie Football Tonight from Dino's.
Nice.
I'm here and get some wings. Be back tonight around midnight. Wake up, take the kid to wrestling. Then I'll be there. Then I have to pick him up. Then I'm heading back to camp for the rest of the time.
All right, 10:15 tomorrow.
Wrestling. No more wrestling. I can do early or whatever. I don't care.
All right, we'll figure it out. Tomorrow morning we'll be back. Maybe we'll have clips that actually work. Maybe not. It's always a crapshoot, really, here on the Bali
Mat. Hey,
did they
give you a time for your washer and dryer?
The dog's barking. They're probably here right now.
You're trying to wrap up. I'm going to try to delay this now.
I'm going to go. I'll see you.
I hear that.